You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Nicole Morgan. Now, Nicole has a decade of expertise in pioneering successful campaigns across diverse sectors, with accomplishments like Young Entrepreneur of the Year and Adjunct Professor at Oklahoma University. She innovatively merges recruitment with marketing, building engagement and retention solutions for industries. And that is just right on. And the timing could not be any better because I feel like for healthcare and like retail, like there is a need to actually for retention in those areas right now, especially with what we just gone through with COVID. So I'm really honored to have on here. And so with no further ado, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor. Now, I love the hero's story. So tell us a little bit about your why. What got you on this path that you're on right now?
Yeah, well, just in general, entrepreneurship was not something that I had ever imagined that I would want to do or could do. It was kind of a, you know, just a situation where life forces you into it. Yeah. But as I have entered into this journey and the company has grown and I've grown with the company, it's really evolved how I look at leadership and the services that we provide and how I work with clients. My biggest why is really my employees. You know, I've been able to provide an environment that offers a lot of flexibility. We're all women who work together and we have, you know, very rich personal lives, but also feel like this is a place where we can come and really do great work for our clients and do meaningful work and work that's impactful. And so being able to provide that environment to me is what keeps me going.
Yeah, that's great to hear because the team building aspect is huge and we'll tap into that a little bit later. So you got into it. Was that a career path? You've already started it and now you're transitioning to starting your own. You transitioned to starting your own with it.
Oh, yeah. So Resolute PR has been around for 9 years. I started the company in 2014. So my background was that I worked for a PR agency for 10 years before that. It was a small boutique agency. I actually worked there when it was a startup. No one called them startups back then, but got to really see that company grow from two people to, I think at one point we had about 16. But then that company had just kind of run through its life cycle. And it was at the point where it was going to be closing and I was faced with this opportunity. I had two small children. My kids were 4 and 1 at the time. And I am the primary breadwinner for my family. And so I was kind of faced with this position of, okay, well, what do? Do I go find a job somewhere? And to me, to continue what I was doing, agency life was all I knew. That had been my only professional job. And so that actually was less scary to me than going and finding a job somewhere else. So it's been interesting. Even though my background was in public relations, I always saw how PR and marketing could work together to really solve those business problems for clients. And so I knew I wanted it to be a one-stop shop that provided digital marketing, that offered branding services and PR. And as that has continued to evolve, that's how we got into this workforce space, which was something completely unexpected, but really solving a need that was in the market.
Yeah, a great need indeed. And so with the services you provide, so you mentioned it's branding and it's building the presence, social media presence, digital marketing of all sorts and copy content, because I know that could be very important. Tell us about the accurate steps to create content that resonate with you, with your target audience. it's a science.
The industry has just changed so much. I mean, when I first got into public relations, it was really about pitching stories and getting reporters to cover your story. And that's still a very valid part of the process. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing now, you know, everything is so customized and so tailored and people can receive the content that is the most important to them and resonates with them. And they can choose to ignore all of the other content. You know, we're not in a situation anymore where we can watch a newscast and we have to consume all of it. We get to really cherry pick. And so we want to make sure that with the content that we're producing, well, A, there are fewer and fewer reporters out there to cover those stories by a third party. And B, when we're producing that content, we want to make sure it's as relevant to the audience as possible.
Yeah.
So really thinking through from their perspective, what are the problems that they're trying to solve? And how can you, as the company, provide a solution to that problem? And it could be through video content, which performs very well now because we have even shorter attention spans.
Yeah.
or it could be written content if it's something more detailed or, you know, how-to guides or things like that. But there are a lot of different options for content that are available that companies can be producing.
Yeah, the video editing piece, the video piece of it is huge, and the attention span is less. I love that it could be tailored. You kind of need to stand out because there's so much information. Tell us about information overload in this arena, and how do we combat that as creators?
Yeah, I know. It's so tough. I actually sat next to somebody at an event yesterday who said he is not on social media. My first reaction was, oh my gosh, that must be amazing. I can't do that, unfortunately, because of the career that I live in. And, you know, there are people who aren't consuming social media. They choose to cut that out because that's just one less thing that they're going to be faced with. And I, you know, if anybody wants a book to read, I think Digital Minimalism is a great book that kind of helped me reset, because it is so easy to just get sucked in and constantly be around all of that information. I work in a job that does have a lot of technology, and I'm, you know, I'm learning about so many different industries all the time that I really have to prioritize finding quiet time. And so for me, that is gardening or getting some time outside and just having peace and no one talking to me and no one trying to give me any information. That I think that, you know, it just continues to get worse because there are so many different ways for technology to infiltrate our lives and to continue to serve that information. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but it's certainly something that's on my mind a lot, because I want to make sure that the information that our clients are providing is relevant and something that they actually want to take the time to consume, because I know there's a lot of competition for that.
Yeah, that, and with the competition comes in, like, there's so much coming at the consumer that you want to be able to capture their attention. I think you have, what, 30 seconds or that you lose them. So it's really like swift. And that's why it's imperative to set up the best marketing campaign to actually hit those individuals. So give us some steps on how we can do that. Develop our best marketing campaigns.
Well, so if I can just kind of give an example. So we've gotten into this workforce recruitment marketing, which seems kind of odd as a marketing firm and a PR firm that we would be helping with recruitment, because that's typically been an HR function. But where we have really found that we are most effective there in helping is that, again, you're talking about information, and this really is an employee's market. You know, they have so many different options for where they want to work, especially in hourly positions. Everybody's hiring, right? So just saying we're hiring and throwing that information out there isn't enough for people. And so you really have to think through, just starting with research. You know, when someone is potentially ripe for looking for another job, or they're considering looking for another job, where would they be searching for that information? If they're really active and really far in the process, they're probably going to Indeed and some of those more traditional platforms to search for the jobs. But if you're trying to convince them that they need to look for another job, or they need to look for a job at all, then you have to start further back than that. And so thinking through, okay, what media are they consuming? What are some of the problems that they might be encountering? What would be some of the cause for maybe why someone is unhappy in their job? And what do you provide as an employer that would be more attractive to them? So I always start with research. Then you kind of move into strategy. So you're in that mindset, you understand what it is that they're thinking and what some of those concerns are. Now, where are you going to meet them, and what media do you need to be on to provide that information? Again, just saying you're hiring is not enough. So what are some of those messages that you do have? Maybe you have really competitive benefits, or maybe you've really spent a lot of time on culture as an organization and you have a lot of really happy employees that you could be showcasing. So you got to think through all of those different things. And then, you know, you move into strategy, you're implementing, but the piece that I think a lot of people forget about is the measurement and really tracking if that campaign is working well. And the great thing about digital marketing is it's so easy to switch gears if it's not working, but you have to be measuring it to know that. So really, you know, having a being adamant that you're measuring how those campaigns are working and being willing to pivot if they're not is also important.
Yeah, and knowing that they're converting, because it could be a dark hole, just sinking and taking all the money, because it's so easy to pivot. It's so easy to switch it. It's so easy to tweak it. And you can make so many tweaks in that it's not, they're not converting. They're not, there's no conversion. There's no sales coming through. So you really got to be mindful, and your team essentially helps with that, right? You come in and you know nothing. You just know you have the company, you have the right culture. And then Resolute PR is coming in with the expertise to help making sure that's done.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the benefit of working with a team. You know, certainly it's another cost to bring a team on. And I think that's something that companies should always think about. You know, am I at the point where I can invest in this? Because it really is an investment. But you're bringing on a team who, you know, I'm not an expert in the measurement piece, but Lauren on my team is. And so, you know, we bring everybody together who has all these different areas of expertise. They're learning from other projects, and there are always new tools that are coming out. And so we're staying on top of all of that for our clients.
Yeah. As the entrepreneur, you don't have to think about it, you know, just trusting the your team to come in and put it together. Now, let's talk more about building effective teams. And now it could be an organization brings your team on board and then we get acclimated and we start working together. But in-house, internally, what are the good signs that a team is in sync and that they're fluid?
Yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Clifton Strengths Finder, but harmony is one of my top five strengths, which means if things are not in harmony, I am very aware of it. And it really bothers me until I can get it back into harmony. So, you know, some of the signs that they're not in sync, I look for just the general tone of how people are in the office. We all work together in one space. So if someone is a little off, you can feel it. And everybody else feels it. So I really try to keep awareness of that. And that's not always an issue with another employee. There could be something going on in their personal lives. And so I spend a lot of time just checking in with people and finding out how they're doing and giving them the flexibility to, you know, take care of the personal things if they need to, so they can bring their best selves to work. I also have not always been great about this, but have really been making an effort that if there is any kind of conflict or potential for a conflict, that I'm encouraging those people to talk to one another. You know, sometimes people just need to vent and that's fine, but I really want to make sure that those are addressed internally, because that just helps keep things from blowing up bigger than they need to be. And that is the other big thing that I have learned, is if you continue to push things off and say, I don't want to deal with it, I don't want to deal with it, it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
It grows.
Yeah, they don't go away on their own.
Yeah. So in there, I hear conflict management, and I hear work-life balance.
Yeah.
And I want to tap into your thought on work-life balance. Does it really exist, or is it just we're prioritizing one over the other? Kind of, you know, you're juggling three different balls and glass balls, and you don't want to drop all of them.
Yeah.
Let's talk into that for a little bit.
Yeah, no, it is. That's, you know, we're all trying to figure that out. I think COVID definitely proved some things and disproved some things. That's one of the biggest things that I think has caused some of the shakeups in hiring. We actually did a study to look at what benefits and work environments actually matter to employees and what would make them apply, or maybe what's frustrating them in their current role. And flexibility was a big one. People, there's just a, you know, an awareness that, hey, I have this other life and these things that I need to take care of. Some can be tremendously time consuming and energy consuming. Like if you're caring for aging parents or you're caring for children, that can take you out of the office. And so the companies that have been not flexible in that and said, no, I'm sorry, you only have this many vacation days and you have to use it within this, and you have to work within these hours, it's, people are not willing to do that anymore. And they're becoming antiquated. Where I think that gets really tricky is there are some industries where working from home is not really an option.
No, no.
I mean, if you work in the restaurant industry, for example, you can't. It's not possible.
Healthcare.
Manufacturing is another big one. And so there are a lot of things that industry is having to overcome. So, but you know, for me, I'm in a service industry. And so we do have the benefit of being able to provide more flexibility. What we did was we went to a hybrid schedule. And so we've just asked that our employees on the days that they're in the office, that they make every effort possible to be there and be available for meetings. And if they have personal things that they need to take care of, that they do those on the work from home days. And you know, they also need to be able to get their work done and all those things. We have guardrails on it, but I think we just need to be more understanding that our employees are humans and
have
things going on. You know, I mean, to your earlier question, if they're not happy, then that's going to impact their work and it's going to impact their relationships with other people at work. And then that impacts their work, you know, so it trickles down and we just have to be aware of that.
It's a domino effect for sure. And that human beings need that freedom. And even providing like the having the culture where childcare is accessible, it's available, knowing that, hey, there are needs. And I think the hybrid way of going about it is effective because there's a different generation into the workplace now. It's either a lot of the millennials and that new generation is starting their own businesses, or they need that flexibility, realizing that awareness, like, hey, I'm not going to do 40 hours for 40 years. Like, I need to have another life because that's where stress build up, burnout. And then that trickles into the personal life piece of it. And so it's tricky, but it is needed to be that flex, to have that flexibility within the organization and let that be part of the culture. Yeah.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, for the leaders that are in your listener group, I mean, one thing that I've realized and spent a lot of time on is identifying what those things are that help me to feel balanced. And so I know I have to spend time outside every day for at least 10 minutes. I have to have quiet for at least 10 minutes. If I can exercise, I know I will feel better. I spend a lot of time focusing on gratitude and writing in my gratitude journal every day. Those are things that I have just come to realize are non-negotiables for me and will help me be a better leader. So I have to, that helps me feel balanced and I have to prioritize them. And so, you know, even if you're not a leader necessarily in your organization, identifying what those things are, I think would be helpful too.
Yeah. And that's a great segue to morning routines and putting those habits together. The things that are non-negotiable for you to show up your best self, right? So tell us about how you get up, dress up and show up. Tell us about your morning routine.
Yeah. So I've actually been working a lot on this lately because the way you start your day can really just impact how the rest of it goes. It's so important. So I love that you focus on this. So another book that I would recommend is Simple Abundance. Okay. And it's kind of a, you know, little short snippets that you read every single day. But one of the ideas that came out of there was that to just always commit to starting with a clean kitchen. So all the things that you need for the morning, have it in the kitchen, buy yourself a pretty tray and put all the things on the tray so they're ready to go in the morning. And I'm a big smoothie person, so I have a lot of like things that I need for my smoothies. Mm-hmm. And so I start, you know, preparing those things in advance so that in the morning they're ready to go. The other thing that my husband recently started wanting to get in shape. And so we've been getting up early together. We start the morning by going for a walk around the neighborhood. We walk about 20 minutes and then we get back in time to make sure that the kids get up and get ready for school and all of that. And I'll, you know, make my breakfast. And then I always take my kids to school because that also ensures that I'm going to get to the office early.
Yeah.
I can be the first one, which gives me, you know, some time to just go through emails one more time. I have my written checklist every day of all the things that I need to work on. And so I can just kind of get centered before the day gets going, because as my employees show up, then everything kind of just starts to be off and running. And unfortunately, I just work in an industry where I never know what my day is going to be like. So there's a lot I'm not going to be able to control.
That's exciting though, because you can't control that, but you are prepared. You gave yourself that time in the morning to show up, to give you what you need to be your best, regardless of what the day throws at you. I like to say you take care of yourself first so that you can take care of everyone else in your environment or in your space. Tell us about the your to-do list. Does that, checking things off, there's a euphoria in that, isn't there?
There is. I write it all down and I've got my highlighter right here because I like to highlight off when I get those things done. I also have just really pen and paper, something about writing things down. One, it sticks on my mind more, and I will keep my notebooks for a while and go back and refer to them. But then also it gives me that opportunity to check things off. So I always try to have that close by, because if I'm in a meeting, for example, I don't want to be distracted by what's going on, but things will pop into my mind and I don't want to lose it. And so I write it down real quick and then I can go back to focusing on the meeting. So it really is my lifeline. It keeps me organized and you know, on top of things.
Yeah, I read somewhere that writing is a form of meditation, allowing you to focus and kind of be in that moment with that thought, especially journaling. And I know gratitude journal is a big one. It's a big form of meditation as well. But yeah, writing will get you to that place of concentration. Yes. And that's probably why you remember it better too.
Yes. Yeah. The gratitude journal has been a great one for me. And I've done it kind of off and on over the years, but I finally had to just commit to making that a habit. And so before I get into bed at night, that is the last thing that I'll do. And really just taking the time to give thanks, because again, when you're an entrepreneur and you're a leader, there are things that are thrown at you every single day. You know, business development, you hear enough no's, that can really get inside your head. And so doing that really, it helps me keep a positive mindset and remember that every single day there are at least three things, usually way more than that, that I can be thankful for.
Yeah, minimum three. I do the same thing. I do it in the morning. But with you, I'm hearing that the morning routine starts the night before, because you're prepping your kitchen and all the things you need for the morning, because you understand that you don't want to have to be scrambling in the morning and wasting that precious energy of being in that beta state where you are so like, just so focused, right? So you impressionable too. So your list of affirmations, you just don't want to mess up that vibe first thing in the morning. And then the gratitude journal too, it prepares you for the next day, but also things to mull over while you sleep, because the subconscious mind is always working for us, right? And so the last things you usually put in there, your last thought, is what you think about throughout the night. And so if it's gratitude, you are well on your way.
I love that you said that. I never thought about it that way, but you know, there are some days where I ruminate on things. So if something negative has happened, it just gets stuck. And so I've gotten to the point where it's almost like a punishment for me. And I'm like, you're going to write in your gratitude journal until this is not focusing on anymore. So, and it helps. It really does. So it's kind of a more recent development, but I love that you said that.
Yeah. Thomas Anderson said it, never go to sleep without giving the subconscious mind something to work on.
That's great.
It is working. It is working on your behalf. So meditation, I heard you do everything on that list. And a lot of entrepreneurs talk about, you know, moving your body first thing in the morning. You have the gratitude journal that you do it and preparing everything the night before. How about meditation for you? How do you quiet time? You did mention you have 10 minutes of quiet time that is necessary and also 10 minutes outside. So tell us about the quiet time.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the longest time, I've always loved being outside, loved gardening, but I would put in an audiobook. And so I was always multitasking. And I decided I want to just not do that, because I just feel like I'm getting overloaded and I'm not really focusing on this thing that I love, this gardening and, you know, being in the dirt. And I'm not really an outdoorsy person, but that I love. And I love seeing the results of the labor and watching the flowers bloom. And like, we had an influx of hummingbirds this year, you know, in our flower beds. And so it's just really neat. And so I thought, you know, I just really want to focus on that more. And so in a way that has become my meditation. I've tried to use meditation apps and I've done some different kind of guided courses and things, and they're helpful. And I do like that there are so many different resources out there. And if there's something really specific that I'm struggling with, to get some of that help. But ultimately, I realized I really just need quiet. And so that has kind of become my meditation.
Yeah, I love that, because it doesn't have to be the traditional way of going about it. It's what the activity becomes that for you, being present and being in the moment. Yeah. Really glad you share that. Thank you so much for being open with us and sharing your highlights and expertise. What's one thing that you'd want to share with us, either a quote or... You shared a couple of good books. I'm taking notes, but give us something that one of your favorite quotes. Leave us with one of those.
Well, I've never been able to, supposedly Abraham Lincoln said this, but I've never really been able to attribute it to him, but that you're only as happy as you make your mind up to be. And I think that there is some power in that, in knowing that you can change your mindset. It's just so easy to be consumed with everything that's happening in the day, but to really focus on happiness and gratitude will make everything go so much easier. And it's contagious. I mean, yeah. other people feel that. That's another thing in leadership that I really underestimated and undervalued, because, you know, this has been really hard and you're taking on a lot of risk, a lot of demand, and didn't realize how that really affected everybody around me. So really trying to focus on happiness and positivity has been a big thing for me.
Yeah. And feeling good. Make sure you feel good in whatever activity that you are doing, because the law of attraction is going to pull that. You're going to be a magnet to that, more and more of it. So yes. I'm glad you shared that. So Nicole, tell us, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. If you want to check out our website, it's resolutepr.com. And we do have a workforce newsletter that we started with data from the study that I mentioned. So if you want to sign up for that, it's resolutepr.com/workforce-recruitment. And there's just a form on there, and we'll be emailing out data every couple of weeks about what employees are looking for.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. It's been such an honor having you on.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been an honor being on.
Awesome.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.